Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 15th of November, 2024, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller from Kansas City at our annual Farm Broadcasting Convention. The HAT Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them online to learn more, ffbt.com. In the news, you'll hear from Arlen Suderman about options for China in the case of a tariff dispute with the U.S. And old and new seed corn products to consider for the coming year. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says we should be past the rain for now. And yesterday, grains and oil seeds again, the week's trend of liquidation continued. Mike Silver has analysis on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Fear over China tariffs in the soybean markets and thinking about your corn seed purchases now. I'm Eric Pfeiffer in Kansas City for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention on Hoosier Ag Today. Soybean futures moved lower again on Thursday with many factors pressuring the market. One factor pressuring the market is fear over what happens when President-elect Trump takes office and what he does with China. Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist with StoneX, says their folks on the ground in China tell him one of three things will happen here in about 60 days. Option one actually sounds promising.
One is that we actually get a trade agreement whereby China would buy more corn and soybeans from us than what they have been in exchange for maybe Trump giving on some of the tariffs against consumer goods coming into the United States from China or something like that.
The next two options, not as promising. Option two would be things continue as they have been,
where they continue to buy more and more soybeans and corn from Brazil and Argentina and less from the United States. Option three would be if things deteriorate rapidly to where they cut off the United States at a much quicker path. Probably tied to that possibly might be some type of conflict over Taiwan that might stimulate that as well.
The China fear would be enough, but Suderman says you also have a lack of certainty around biofuels programs.
And a lack of a 45Z program and California's proposition to limit soy oil to 20% of the feedstock. All those things, it's just hard to build a case. So the funds say, well, we'll just short soybeans against everything else. And that's the trend we're seeing right now.
January beans finished below $10 on Thursday. If you're a corn grower, you might be thinking about your seed purchase now for next spring. CJ Miller's in Kansas City with me. He talks about options for 2025.
We're actually launching 25 brand new products across different RMs for DeKalb.
And that's Jamie Horton, brand manager with DeKalb. Even though they're rolling out a significant number of new products, she says several of their existing products have shown some huge results.
As I think through some of our top products, DeKalb DKC 6835 Ribrian Blend is our number one product in the nation, and that's really been a powerhouse type product for us in that 118-day RM. And then we've also got some of those earlier products too across different trait platforms, continuing to focus on our VT4 Pro lineup of products and SmartStax Pro, really being that focus for some of those heavy rootworm geographies that we can sometimes get.
And with tar spot found in all 92 of Indiana's counties, Horton says that DeKalb's team of agronomists can help you manage your risks to prevent yield loss in 2025.
The good thing about tar spot is we are able to manage it. As we think through those solutions that we've got in season through fungicide and through different management practices, I know our technical agronomists there in Indiana and throughout the Midwest have been working diligently to understand how we best manage the tar spot for Indiana growers. And so continuing to understand, hey, what's the best timing and products to be able to place on that farm to really be able to manage it and maximize that performance of those products.
For more information about all of the products available from DeKalb, visit their website, DeKalbAsgrow.com. You can also read more at HoosierAgToday.com. Reporting from Kansas City at the NAFB convention, I'm CJ Miller.
All right, CJ, thanks. Back in Indiana, the State Fairgrounds announced Wednesday a new chapter in its rich history with the naming rights partnership for the iconic Fairgrounds Coliseum. It's now the Corteva Coliseum. You can read more on this story and find other farm news at HoosierAgToday.com. From Kansas City and the NAFB convention, I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the state, we're looking at a very nice Friday, Saturday, and honestly Sunday period. Temperatures continue to be mild. We're looking at partly to mostly sunny skies. More clouds maybe on Sunday, but they're not going to yield much of anything. As we go into next week, this is where things get a little interesting. We start off the week with a major system coming together in the plains. It kicks eastward for Monday and overnight into Tuesday, likely giving us showers and thunderstorms. 1/4 to 1 inch precipitation. 100% coverage or very, very close. Then we are dry for the Wednesday time frame before another weather system, part of the same complex, shows up on Thursday. And that Thursday system, again, has 1/4 to 3/4 inch rain potential. But the key here is the low starts to have some very significant backside wraparound, and it draws down colder air. It then sits over the Great Lakes as we finish out the week and go through the weekend, just with this massive geographical circulation. Clouds coming down, cold air coming down out of Canada. We turn much colder for the end of the week and weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we stay chilly through all of next week, headed towards Thanksgiving. We are going to end up with good rounds of cloud cover, spits, sprinkles coming off the Great Lakes, even some lake effect snowflakes if you're in the right spot. It is going to be a significantly colder outlook as we head into that week of Thanksgiving. So lots of changes coming here. And I'll tell you this, let's start with the beautiful weather nearby, because it's probably looking at days being numbered. I think that the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so today through Monday, 4-day stretch, is probably the last one that we have that is well above normal on temperatures like we've seen here recently. We get a little bit of Mother Nature reset as we move through the rest of next week and the week following. And honestly, though, it's time. It is late November, after all. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
More liquidation across the board. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'll have all the final numbers of a lower day throughout. We begin, though, with market commentary from Mike Silver. I spoke with Mike at Kokomo Grain near the end of trade. Mike, another sell-off. It is a trend throughout this 4 days of trading in this current week. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all lower and near the lows for the day on the close for the soybean market. We're just in search of bullish news. Doesn't appear to be any.
You nailed it, Andy. There just doesn't appear to be much friendly news, if any, right now to move these markets higher. Friday, of course, last Friday, the USDA did give us a surprise in that November WASDE report. They lowered the soybean yield. And actually friendlied up the market there for at least a half hour after those numbers were released at noon last Friday. But boy, since then, we've just been trading the market from a technical standpoint, testing resistance and trying to find support and confined to a channel trading range. We're in the demand side of the market now, obviously. And certainly the export sales numbers that we normally get on Thursday morning at 8:30, they were delayed. They'll be out tomorrow morning at 8:30. All the USDA reports were delayed 1 day this week due to Veterans Day on Monday. But we have seen on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, today, and last Friday, we did see flash export sales. Of course, we didn't have any Monday because of the holiday. So tomorrow, hopefully, maybe we'll see another round of flash export sales. to Mexico for corn or to some unknown destination, and hopefully some more soybeans. In that balance sheet Friday, they did not make a lot of changes to the export projections. We did change, obviously, like I say, the carryout numbers some, but we still, even with that reduction in soybean yield, we still have a very burdensome ending stock situation for U.S. soybeans and corn for that matter, too. Corn, they didn't change the yield very much. And we will not get another USDA report until December the 10th. And usually that December report is pretty much of a nothing report. So with the holidays ahead of us now, there'll be no trade, obviously, on Thanksgiving. And then we'll come back for several weeks. And then the markets will get in a holiday mode around Christmas time. So right now, the focus of the market is from a technical standpoint. Farmers have basically locked their bin doors tight on the grain that they've put in their bins, both the corn and the soybeans. So that has helped rally the basis levels to try and attract some of that grain out of those bins. But from a future standpoint, we're confined to a trading range. Our moving averages are 50-day moving average, 20, 40, 50, and 100-day moving averages, as I've talked over the years, are important support and resistance lines, and we're confined right now to a trading channel from a technical standpoint, and we just need some good, friendly, price-friendly news, and that's been lacking, and that's why we're down basically again today. If I look at where it looks like we're going to close today and compare to that to last Friday, December corn is going to be down about 12 cents. January soybeans are down 42, almost 43 cents from last Friday's close. And the December wheat, well, let's talk about the July 25 wheat. It's down almost 40 cents. So there's just not a lot of enthusiasm from an increasing futures market price level at the moment. But we all know that things can change in a hurry. But the focus right now is a lot on the macroeconomic situation in the world. Of course, with President-elect Trump now picking out his cabinet, there's a lot of observation comments. I don't want to use the word concern, but optimism that he'll get a good solid cabinet in place and we can have policy favorable to agriculture. And there's hope there. Of course, the other side of the coin is we know that there have been a lot of conversations and stories written about tariffs and what impact tariffs will or won't have, whether they will or will not be implemented. But certainly there are issues yet to be resolved. But until we can get some price rally in the futures market, it looks like farmers are going to remain pretty tight holders of grain going into the new year. We'll see some bin coring, obviously, but as I said, soybean and corn basis has certainly improved substantially from where we were a month ago. Basis has really snapped in. It's snapped in a lot quicker than I can recall in a long, long time. So we'll just have to stay on our toes and take advantage of any opportunity. We still have burdensome ending stocks in the United States. If we look to South America, of course, they're in their planting season now, and there's nothing really concerning down there, either from a pace standpoint that they're getting their crops in the ground or from a weather standpoint. But there could be some opportunity in the weeks and months ahead as that southern hemisphere crop develops after it's planted, that we could see some rally, some concern in prices. So we'll just have to stay on our toes, Andy. We'll look forward to what USDA has to say in tomorrow's export sales report. The average estimates on the high side for corn are 2.6 million metric tons. Last week we had 2.7. The soybean, the high end of the estimate is 2.2 million metric tons, and last week we had 2.037, and the high end of the wheat estimate is 550,000 metric tons. So we'll see what USDA has to say in the morning at 8:30. We'll see if we get another day of flash export sales from USDA, and hopefully that will add some stability as we move into the last trading day of the week of November the 11th.
Comments from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. His number 800-666-0613. Now the Thursday settlements, 7.5 cents down on Dease corn. It dips to 419. March ended at 430¾, down 6¾. January beans, 20¼ lower, going to 987½. March, 999¼, losing 19¼. And December wheat, 530¼, down a dime and 3/4. Meats down as well. December live cattle, $182.95, down $1.07. December lean hogs, $80.10, down $1.77. And that's the Thursday review. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.